escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yo!
Yo!
Hey, did you get that tree taken down?
I got it.
What?
Because you got, I know.
I got a tree in the front yard and you take it down. You said you were going to help me out.
I'm going to help you out. You got to send me some pictures.
I sent you a picture, goddammit.
I got a guy. It only took me like 3 years, but I finally found a tree.
Got a guy who,
your tree's like way smaller than mine. Mine was massive, huge, and it was hanging over a bunch of power lines. You're just sitting out there in the front yard. Yours should be easy. But yes, Heartland Roof and Tree.
Heartland Roof and Tree?
Yeah, they do both. So
they
this is the thing.
On?
So yeah. So my thing is like not only. So this guy came out and took a look at it, and I told you I've had multiple people who were like, "Yeah, too close power lines could do," it. Or they were just like, "Yeah, $10,000, whatever." I was like, "Okay, well, I guess I'll let it fall in my house." Finally, it was Buddy who had texted me. You know, Buddy.
Mm-hmm.
He texted me and said, "Hey, I know a guy who's got a tree removal company. You should call him." And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't think it's gonna work because I've had quite a few people out." But he came out and sure as shit got it done. Whole thing's gone. All I got left now is
Heartland
a stump
Roofing?
In my backyard.
Heartland
Roof and Tree.
How do I Google it?
Just email him. Heartland Roofer, R-O-O-F-E-R. Heartland Roofer at gmail.com. He said he's building a website right now.
Okay.
But I thought to myself, because I said, so the name of the company's Heartland Roof and Tree. And he goes, yeah, we do roofs and trees. And I thought, dude, it's only a matter of time before our roofs go bad.
Yeah.
Right? Because my roof
did you say you come and do my tree?
Yes, I need pictures of your tree. He wants me to send pictures of your tree. I told him, your tree's nothing compared to mine.
Okay,
mine is gone. They came out. I came home one day, and they had the crew there, and I went inside. And when I came back, I heard like a lot of noise, and I went back outside. It's all hauled away and gone and everything.
Nice.
Just nothing but the flat stump.
Right. Heartland Roofer. So you can help us. You got a tree that needs to be gone. Go email Heartland Roofer at
gmail.com. I've got their phone number, 816-522-8660.
Say it again.
816-522-8660.
Enjoy the podcast.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. and you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, you good-looking son of a bitch?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, man.
Anything going on?
No, not at all.
Well, that's good. How's your mom?
She's good. How's your mom?
I don't know. Not good.
Why?
Because I woke up this morning, and I guess I've been up for a little bit, and I get something. I've never gotten this on my phone before, but it's like an SOS, and it says, see if I can find it here. As it doesn't stay in my messages, but there's been so many of them sent now. It says, SOS, hard fall. Okay? And then it's got like a picture of my mom's contact, the same picture that pops up in her contact info.
Oh, like she fell.
Yeah. But then it says someone else's name, which is really confusing. It says this Barbara person's name.
Do you know Barbara?
I know that my mom has a friend named Barb.
I feel like you've mentioned a Barb before.
Her. Well, there's a different Barb, probably. That's Florida.
Barb. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's Brooks Barb. But anyhow, it's clearly that it's from my mom because I see that contact info, and it says SOS.
You know, that's the kind of friend I am.
Yeah, you got the names.
But not enough to really know. Like, I pay attention enough to know there's a Barb involved.
That's pretty good,
but not,
though.
Right, it's pretty good. Like, I'm a pretty good friend.
They're not like my aunts or uncles. I mean, the fact that you recognize that name at all, I'd say is good. So, I myself am thinking, I'm pretty sure my mom has a friend named Barb. I know one of her friends, or a neighbor who's named Barb, but this is not the same name. So I know it's not her.
Okay.
I'm thinking, I think she has another friend. Anyhow, it's this SOS, and it's got like a flashing red indicator. I know my mom has an Apple Watch. So I try calling her, and there's no answer. And then my brother calls me shortly after, and he says that he's tried calling her, and there's no
How
answer.
Do you set up an... I don't never had an Apple Watch.
Me neither.
That's pretty amazing.
Me neither. Yeah,
so
I knew
it
that...
sets up... You somehow somebody set it up, and then if she falls, it sends a text to you?
Yeah, like we've talked about those news stories where these hikers get lost, where they fall, and then it automatically calls emergency services. So... But my mom's not answering the phone, and I'm thinking, I don't have an Apple Watch, so I don't know. Can she answer like Dick Tracy on the watch? I thought you could. I don't
think you can.
Maybe she can't, but I also thought, well...
I need an Apple Watch, now that you mention it.
She also has Echo devices all over the house. The whole house is wired for them. So she could ask Lady A to call the police or an ambulance if she needed. But anyhow, now you start going through your mind. Okay, so what's happening? What's happening? She's not answering the phone. My brother says she's not answering the phone. There's this other woman's name on there. So I'm thinking, okay, here's what's happened. This other woman must have come over to my mom's house, either because my mom called her or because she was coming over to meet her to go do something and saw that my mom had fallen. Mm-hmm. And then somehow pushed out this alert. This is like, I don't know how these things work, right? I'm like, did she like okay an alert to go out? Did she find my mom unconscious? Did she find my mom sitting there saying, I hurt myself and I don't have the strength to get up?
Or is she just the
or what
person
she called,
that
like
set
I said,
it up?
That's what I thought too. Did she set this up? Is it her old watch, right? Did she buy the watch from her?
And whoever set it up didn't change the name.
So you start running through all that stuff in your head. I'm like, well, I guess I got to get in my car and drive over there. Because what it does is it says the SOS thing, and then it sends you a pin, and it says, here's the location where this SOS was issued. And it's showing my mom's address. So,
is she okay?
She's okay. She's okay. She's
good,
alive.
Because I had like 72 million jokes to unleash during this whole comment, but I've been holding back.
She's okay.
Afraid there was something wrong. So now...
And she's mostly okay, I think.
If a joke comes up, I can...
Yeah,
let it fly.
She's mostly okay. We finally got a hold of her on the phone. My brother did first.
It just surprises me that you've never gotten this alert before. When I was over there,
yeah.
You know, hard fall, probably in love. Uh-huh. You know,
whoa,
excessive shaking.
Hard fall. Yeah, trembling, seizure detected. So heart rate through the roof. So
with little hearts.
My brother finally texted
like
me.
You send some of those comments like a congrats. It's like heart rate racing.
Right.
Sends my name confetti. Boo. But Happy New Year.
My brother had gotten a hold of her, and he texted me this time. Maybe he's trying to send a group text. I don't know, but he said, I got a hold of her. She's bleeding. So I'm like, okay, she's conscious. She's alive. and she's
well,
bleeding.
Well, no, I don't want to hear she's bleeding.
Right, like, that sounds bad. Like, how bad is she bleeding? She
fell. Well, now I feel bad about the joke.
She's trying to stop
the
blood.
You should have told me that.
Well, it doesn't sound, you know, again, how there's different levels here of how bad that could be. What does that mean to be bleeding like?
Bleeding's not good.
It's not good, but did you cut your finger bleeding, or are you bleeding from seven different places? Right. Well, it turns out, I finally get her on the phone, and she had fallen outside on the concrete on the patio. There's an uneven strip of concrete there. I'm sure I was supposed to fix. She walks pretty well.
Yeah, mom struggles with the walking.
The only thing I don't like her doing is walking up and down the stairs, like to go down to the basement. Yeah, my brother put one of those lifts in to get her to upstairs.
Man, getting old sucks.
Didn't put one in the basement, and I'm like, don't go down to the basement. We moved all your sewing stuff upstairs from the basement.
Right.
Let us take stuff down to the basement that needs to go down there. Don't go up and down the stairs.
See, my mom's got to go up and down the stairs at my place, and it's like,
yeah, that's when I get uncomfortable. Like, don't do that. But regular walking,
I got
walking,
those steps going into the house and out of the house that she's got to get up.
Yeah, just a couple
I don't have
there.
A flat. Well, it's like 1, 2, a long walk to 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2 more.
Yeah, yeah, and there's probably not like an easy railing.
There's no
to
rail
get
or anything.
Okay, yeah, my mom needs a railing. But when she's walking, she seems okay. I don't know. So, you know, she's not like a super slow walker or
my mom is, or
stumbling anyway. To catch her balance, whatever. But she said she fell, she tripped on this uneven piece of concrete, and she hit. She scraped her knee. She thinks she broke a rib, and most importantly, she got a cut above her eye, and that's where she was bleeding.
Well, a broken rib's not good.
Well, she thinks she's like, my rib hurts, and it's pretty easy to break a rib, so I wouldn't be shocked. But also, I don't think they do anything for a broken rib. Maybe wrap it, right? Because I think they
check it, make sure it didn't poke anything.
Yeah, make sure it's not puncturing your lung. She said that it hurt right there. But I said, okay, you know, I'm coming over. She said, no. It's just a cut. You don't need to come over. I said, Mom, I'll come over. And she's adamant. No, you don't need to come over. It's totally fine. She's like, I've already got the bleeding stopped. I'm just in here trying to go through all this stuff. I've got, you know, all this first aid stuff, and some of it's old. And I said, well, do you have any butterfly bandages? Let me bring something. I don't need it. Seriously.
Yeah, you have them because you hurt your head.
Exactly. And I said,
being out, like, that's not, yeah.
I bought some because I cut my head. And I asked her if it was similar to the cut on my head. She said, yeah, except it's right above my eye. And I said, well, you know, if you get it to stop bleeding.
It's similar to the cut on your head. She needs to go to the hospital. You needed to go to the hospital.
Well, she said it's smaller, and she said that it had stopped bleeding. So I'm like, all right. So she probably, hopefully doesn't need stitches if she got it to stop bleeding. But I said, look, I'm coming over. She's like, you do not need to come over. Now, normally my mom would be like, you know, okay, hon, you don't have to do that, but that's fine. But she's like adamant that I not come over. So I text my brother and say, she says that she doesn't need me to come over. Here's what's going on. And then my niece is texting me, and my niece is basically like, why didn't you go over there? I'm like, all right, I'll go over there. So I call my mom, and I tell her, hey, I'm coming over. You know, what do you need? She's in the car driving when I call her back. I'm like, where are you going? Now I'm afraid she's driving herself to the hospital, the doctor. Right. She goes, I've got a dentist appointment.
Oh, well, if she's driving herself to a dentist appointment, she's okay.
That's kind of what I thought. Yeah. Like, well, okay, she must really not think it's that bad if she's driving to the dentist. So, and this wasn't like she knocked a tooth out. This was like I had this appointment scheduled, and she, I guess, didn't want to reschedule it. So I felt bad because my brother texted me. I'm the closest one. My niece didn't get off work until 2 o'clock. But I finally said, well, she's at the dentist now. Like, I can't go over there now.
I'm guessing a dentist wouldn't just be like, well, what happened?
Right.
And you're like, oh, I fell. And he's like, all right, whatever. Let me clean your teeth and let you go.
Yeah,
I mean,
just sitting there
I'm not saying
he
could fix it, but
no,
I'm saying he'd be like, yo,
you need to go to the doctor.
You need to go to the doctor.
Yeah, it's third-party perspective at the very least. And it's someone in the medical field, right?
Of course.
And it's their opinion. So, I thought the same thing. But I also thought, well, now I can't go over there. So, my niece had already said she was going to go over there. It was very clear that my niece seemed a little perturbed that I hadn't gone over there sooner. But I was like, man, I offered to. She was really adamant that I didn't need to come over there. Maybe it's because she wanted to go to this dentist appointment. I don't know. But when I called back, it wasn't that long afterwards to say I'm coming over. She was already on the way to the dentist. So, I think my niece is over there now. But,
oh, okay, good.
She said she was going. She said she got off work at 2 o'clock, and she said she was going over there then. So, but we're still getting the alerts on our phones. And we have been this whole time. As soon as she started getting on the move, I guess the watch thinks, this injured person is on the move. So here's an update on their location in case your emergency services or family or whatever. She doesn't know how to turn this thing off. And I don't know how to turn it off. And my brother who got her the watch, he uses an Apple Watch. He doesn't know how to turn it off. So we're still getting alerts me and my brothers, everyone who lives here locally, we're getting alerts on our phone that say SOS, hard fall detected. And, you know, I just hope it's not the boy who cried wolf. Right. Well, when I got it the second time, I thought, oh, no. She was hurt more than we thought, and she fell again. And, you know, just all those things that rush through your mind in that moment when you think, well, this is going to really change my day. As soon as I saw that SOS.
Sure, of course.
I was like, this is going to really change my day, my week,
right.
my who
I mean,
knows.
I know your first thought is, this is really inconvenient for me.
That is not my first thought.
This is really going to change my day.
My life.
My day is, you know, really kind of, I had it planned.
Well,
I had some oatmeal.
Okay.
I had used the restroom.
It's
this is really
you know
really
what I meant. I'm trying not to be too morbid.
Hey,
but
I'm telling you, that's how I would feel.
This could change my life. I don't doubt that is how you would feel.
Oh,
but you're thinking,
Jesus Christ!
You're thinking if she, you're thinking at the very least she probably needs to go to the hospital. If I'm getting this alert, no one can get a hold of her. She's either at the hospital or needs to go to the hospital. So I gotta go there. Hopefully she's okay.
Yeah.
So that's what you're thinking at the very minimum. And then you're thinking like if
and I hadn't planned
someone
for
was
this.
Unconscious and.
I was playing
and
college
she's not
football
okay.
25. I don't got time for this.
Yeah. But anyway, once she got on the phone, someone talked to her on the phone, you're like, whew.
Well,
right?
All jokes aside, I do love your mom. That, and I'm glad that she's okay.
Yeah, I am too.
Because sometimes you have to be more serious about life, and I'm glad that she's okay. That has to be frightening when your parents get older, man.
Yeah.
And especially when your dad's gone.
I went through the same thing with my dad.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
It's worse now.
Because there's nobody there.
There's nobody there to help them.
Yeah.
You know?
But
and they're women. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Maybe it's even better, but there's no way I would have even known if my dad fell.
No.
Unless they had to come get him in an ambulance, because he would not tell anyone.
Women seem to handle aging better because they're more honest about it.
Right.
They'll ask for help.
My dad would fall. Like, I'd go outside, his arm would be bleeding.
Yep.
I'd be like, yo, what happened? Nothing.
Nothing. Oh,
and he's
knows.
In the, you know... trunk getting stuff, and I'm like, yo,
you're bleeding.
And he's like, ah, god damn it.
Yeah,
I'm like, what happened? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, what? He's like, I fell.
Okay. Well, that's something.
Right. Well, let's talk about it. Where you had to get that out of them, where, you know.
It's nothing, it's nothing, it's nothing.
Right.
Whereas, at least up until now, I think my mom is much more honest. Like, I think I might need to go to the doctor. I think I might need this. I think this is pretty bad. My dad didn't want to tell you it even happened to begin with. And if you found out, then he
downplayed. And I know I'm just
going to
be much more like that. I'll never call my kids and tell them I fell.
Right.
Never.
Well, that's how my dad was. He refused to call me, so he called the fire department.
Yeah.
And I was like, you guys keep calling the fire department. Call me. I live 15 minutes away. No,
because there is something about a dad where you're like, you know, I can't let my kids see me weak.
I get that, but...
I'm just telling you, that's how I feel, too. I'd be like, I can't call my boys.
But calling the fire department, I mean, he must have called the fire department 5 or 6 times just to pick him up. Wasn't bleeding or any type of injury other than he, because he was losing strength, he'd fallen and he literally couldn't get up, like the commercials. He
didn't
have strength to get himself up.
Trying to crawl to my bed.
Yeah.
And, like Metallica, Pray for Death or whatever, right? Like, oh, no.
I guess
my knee hurts and everything else, right? You're right.
That's
I think women handle it a little bit more gracefully.
I think they're a little more honest, and that helps them to get help that they need and probably suffer a little less, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah. But it also made me think, like, man, these technology can be a pain in the ass. Technology can even potentially be bad for society in some ways. But things like that are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, remember the Life Alert commercials our whole lives? Like, is that still a company?
I'm sure.
Like, what do they do now? They need to step up their game if they're going to compete with that watch. Like, it better do something that the watch doesn't do because the watch is automatically.
I bet you they sell more of them because my mom would not like the Apple Watch. It's too goddamn confusing. But if I said, Mom, just put on this necklace where you can push the button.
You're right. It's the jitterbug.
Yeah, my mom's all the time like, I don't want this goddamn phone.
Yeah.
I just need a phone that I can call people. I'm like, well, don't you want to get pictures? And at this point, she's even like, no.
Right, not anymore. I thought I did, but not anymore, especially when you keep accidentally sending me the photos that you send me.
The Church of Laszlo.
What's going on?
Nothing. Have you seen any movies lately?
No.
There was something you guys said you wanted to see. Was it that Inside Out sequel?
Yeah, I do want to see that.
A while ago. I was thinking there was something. You know what's
I've been
big?
Watching Receiver and trying to get...
I watched parts of it.
I really enjoyed it.
I should have just watched it. I like fast-forwarded through parts of it, and then I was like, I definitely want to see the Super Bowl. So I skipped to that part to watch the end, you know. And
I'm not the part where, like, Amon St. Brown doesn't make the Pro Bowl.
Okay.
I've enjoyed it. Like, as much as I enjoyed quarterback.
Yeah,
the wasn't characters
the story
are pretty interesting.
That they just couldn't get enough quarterbacks to participate?
Yeah, I guess people
I don't
didn't
know if
want
that's
to do
true
it.
Or not. Yeah. Someone said heard. That, but I mean, I guess that makes sense. Maybe they just do enough stuff. You'd think there'd be some. It's not like every quarterback in quarterbacks was a star. I can't even think of that other guy's name.
Marcus Mariota.
Mariota. Maybe that was kind of their thing, though. Like, we'll get a great quarterback and then a quarterback who's having a good year and then someone who's struggling. And that. So maybe that's
But they had great wide receivers. They had, I mean.
Right, with the wide receivers, it seems
Kittle
like.
Kittle and they've got, St. Brown.
I hate to admit that I like them.
Justin Jefferson.
Know. Yeah. Yeah.
Who? I mean, Debo's in it a lot, but it feels like it's supposed to be Kittle, but it's Debo in there a lot. And I don't remember who the other person is.
Kittle seems fine.
But he seems awesome.
He seems fine.
He seems like a lot of fun.
He seems cool, and I don't
know
why.
He seems super nice.
I had managed to make him a villain in my mind.
Yeah, in my mind, I didn't like him either.
Yeah.
But he's funny.
He's not who I thought he was.
Right? Like, he seems like a good dude.
He really does.
That whole thing. Ow! You hit me in the dick!
He just seems like...
And the whole game, like, ah! Never been hit like that.
Yeah.
And then going to the sidelines, there's some guys like, you ever been hit in the dick?
Yeah. He seems like a...
Yeah, it's funny.
Normal guy, one of us.
Seemed like it was fun. Like, he's a fun guy, like, you know, with him.
And he seems like people get along with him, too. Like,
yeah, they all like him.
It's not one of those deals. I don't know why I had this idea that he was... I mean, obviously, I wanted to be a
villain.
Oh,
Devontae Adams was the other one.
Oh, yeah, Devontae
Adams. I didn't end up liking him as much, but his story's interesting, so...
What, you didn't like him as much?
I just thought a lot of it was like, you know... But it felt like they were showing, like, you know, him. And not that he shouldn't have done it, and his coach was terrible, but just trying to get the guy fired, you know what I mean? Like, this isn't what it's supposed to look like. Yeah, you know, I don't know if you, whatever. I feel like I'm old school when it comes to coaching and football. Like, I think they should have never hired that guy. He was horrible. But I also feel like, man, ride that season out and then get him fired. You know what I mean? Like, you got a job. They pay you. Do it.
Yep.
Like, do whatever he says to the best. Like, because now
you'll start complaining.
Right, you never know. Start complaining about five games in and things aren't going right. Garoppolo sucks. You hate Garoppolo. And everything that he said was true.
Yeah.
But it's also like, I don't think you're given 110%. So you don't know if it would work.
Because you decided what bothers already, me. It's not going to work.
And I've done that before at jobs, too. Like, this job sucks. My boss is a dick.
Yeah, the nursery.
So then you don't ever really... know if their plan could have worked.
Yep. Oh, I get that.
But it's also on the coach to get people to buy in. That's the biggest thing. Like, you hear when you think about teams that are good, you know, listen to the players talk about Andy Reid.
Yeah.
You know, they buy in. Listen to the people talk about old Kneebiter over there. Mm-hmm. They buy in, right? Like, whatever it is, you got to get those guys to buy in. You know, hear the players and the coaches talking to the Jets, like, yeah, that ain't working.
Right.
That's not working.
Right. No, you just don't have their faith at all. Mm-hmm. And that is.
And you
got
to have faith
in
the players, too. Like, you know, that off-season HBO Hard Knocks thing with the Giants.
I haven't watched any of that. How many Hard Knocks are they doing?
I don't know. But this one, you're just like, that guy does not believe in his quarterback. Like,
yeah.
And that's not going to work either.
No, you got to at least let him believe that you believe in him, right? I think maybe they'd say, no, he needs to know his ass is on the line. I don't know. Does that help more people than it hurts? I know it hurts some people. I guess it depends on your personality type.
I think
your boys would react differently.
They
would.
And I think there's a way to motivate people. Like, if you have a backup quarterback, that guy's pushing you for his job.
Yeah.
I don't know that it helps.
We saw
you, like,
that
you're
Brady Belichick
fired.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch that Patriots documentary, right? He definitely, like, Brady was...
That was constant.
Inspired by it.
I'm with you. I just don't know that Tom Brady and...
You can't compare him to anyone
else. Dan Jones.
Exactly. Yeah. At least not yet.
Right.
At least not yet. You know, we don't know what the future holds for Dan Jones.
But I think it helps that Mahomes really likes Andy Reid. You hear them talk, and he's like, oh, he'll come up with a crazy play, and, you know, we'll work it in. Like, that's what they want, you know? I don't feel like that's happening on the Lions team, where they're like, hey, come up with a crazy play. I think he's like, no.
Yeah.
But they buy in. You know what I mean? Where Devontae Adams is just like, our coach sucks. This team sucks.
Yeah.
I don't want to be here.
Which is what you
Which,
just
by the way,
sum up as a bad attitude.
Because he's right.
It's a bad attitude.
But he's right
But
as
it's still
well.
A bad attitude.
Right. It's a bad attitude, but you're correct.
Whether you're right or not, it's still a bad attitude.
Right.
On either side.
And my thought is, how long until this new coach that you really wanted... How long until he starts making mistakes, and then you're like, this guy sucks, too. It's
exactly.
Like, all right.
Yeah. No, exactly. Well, the reason I asked is because, since you were talking about watching that, I will mention real quick because I just started it last night. I think I've got a couple more episodes. I think the last one comes out Wednesday, but I finally started that Presumed Innocent on Apple, the one with Jake Gyllenhaal where he's a lawyer.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Oh, I thought we discussed that and you said you wanted to watch it. Okay, well, I know people have been talking about it on Twitch. Mm-hmm. Twitch had been recommending it for a while. So, and I knew it was out, but I knew that it was also still coming out. And I was kind of waiting for it to get closer to being finished.
Good?
Because I knew I'd want to binge it. So far, it's been good.
I like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Slim, you told me to watch that Rossi documentary. Have you finished that?
Well, I mean,
I watched three episodes.
You're not a big true
night.
Crime person, and I remember
what?
Telling
I
you.
Am.
Well, I mean, insofar as like watching every Dateline or every 2020 things.
Right.
Like,
I mean, Jesus Christ,
episodes.
There's a thing between being into true crime and being obsessed.
You're
right.
Not obsessed.
Right.
You're not obsessed. But I meant specifically with like those TV magazines like Dateline and all that stuff. And I told you there was an episode of Dateline about that Rossi guy that you had to watch, and it took some work.
Ooh.
To convince
Rossi.
You, and then you finally watched
You'll
it, and you're like,
him.
Oh, my God. He's the guy who is the accused rapist who fled the country and then pretended to be a Scotsman in a wheelchair who had long COVID.
And green piece suit, and it's like, we are once a happy family.
I am not the man that they say I am.
And he's clearly
and these accusations
the guy.
Are ridiculous.
Oh, I want to see that. What's that on?
It's on
good, man.
Peacock. It's called Rossi, a dead fugitive or something like
fugitive,
that.
Fugitive something. But
just look up Rossi.
R-O-S-S-I. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah,
good.
R-O-S-S-I. They did it. Did you ever watch that Dateline episode? Or
no.
You,
I just remember
I think
the
you
news
watched
story.
The, you watched the clip. From the day, I think there was like a video that we showed you of him
that's
in his wheelchair.
Blow.
Right. Yeah,
that's a
I mean,
low blow.
There's so many different types of criminals, but that guy pretending to be someone else
it's
and on top of pretending to have an accent and be in a wheelchair and change his appearance, it is interesting.
And the fact that he was able to fake his death while the FBI is.
And
pursuing
him. Exactly, and his story
like
is
how?
So ridiculous.
It's
you
so
know,
absurd.
Like, oh, we were orphans, and then we decided to escape a boat, and so we set sail for the new land.
And then all the other orphans died because they got addicted to drugs, and
right.
I'm the only one that survived.
Every part of his story is absurd. So, yeah, I do recommend that.
Okay.
That's on Peacock. But movies. It's summertime still. And there's big movies, and now I think there's I think it's the biggest movie. Yeah, I know it's the biggest movie. And it's one of those summer blockbusters, one of those old-fashioned summer blockbusters.
Wolverine and Deadpool?
Twisters.
Oh, that looks horrible.
And I guess people like it.
Yeah, no interest.
And
I didn't like the first one. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
The first one was so dumb.
No
Helen Hunt is hot, though.
She was. But that first
wow.
one was so dumb. It was just
Man,
a dumb
she
movie.
She was a knockout.
Yeah, she really
I
was.
I mean, I know what she looks like now.
She was in something not that long ago, and I almost... She looks good. She's just, you're like, oh, wow, she... It's
no,
30,
it's
30 years later. Yeah, you just forget. But...
And that sitcom, too, man. She was
mad,
one of those...
Mad About You.
Like, one of those women where I was like, man, you are stunning.
Yeah. And
stunning.
And I think she might have... She's not nominated for or won an Oscar for As Good As It Gets, I think. She was starting to become
oh,
that
yeah,
Jack
that's
Nicholson
right,
movie.
Yeah.
She was becoming, like, a kind of a leading lady, and then she kind of... I don't know. Hollywood's not fair to women. We all know that. But that Twister, the original Twister movie was stupid. Like, just stupid. It was special effects, great. Sure, for the time, the special effects were amazing. But, I mean, that movie was about as dumb as it gets. So I didn't have, like, high hopes for this new one. But apparently people really like it. So much so that it made this list that I think the Hollywood Reporter put out of the greatest disaster movies of all time.
Oh, really?
So if you want to know what the greatest disaster movies are, it would be hard for me to even think of. Let's see. There's Volcano. There's
Joe in the Volcano?
Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones. Wasn't it just called
Day?
Volcano?
I don't think I know that.
Is that a disaster? That's not a natural disaster if it's an alien invasion. Is
I mean,
it?
It's
Maybe
a
it is.
Disaster.
Maybe it is a disaster. So if we're counting that stuff, then I guess it's easier. But I'll tell you what they are. And I'll tell you, or I'll ask you, I guess, about something I heard this morning involving this Twisters reboot, relaunch, sequel, whatever it is. Because you're the AMC stockholder.
Yeah.
Maybe you know about this new way to see movies. It's not even apparently all that new, but it's gotten really popular because of this movie. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, I'll discuss next.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, so the greatest disaster movies of all time, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Now, this is because this Twisters movie... which I believe is a sequel to Twister. I think they're just calling it a sequel. What was the other name of the soft... What was the, what? There was another name we came up with for when it's not quite a remake and it's not quite a sequel.
Yeah.
Someone on Twitch will know.
Soft something.
I haven't seen the new one, so I don't know what the plot is anyway. I have seen the first one, thought it was bad. It made this list. And looking through this list, I thought, wow, if these are the best disaster movies of all time... Someone should make some better disaster movies because there's some bad movies on
was
here
it
now.
Soft reboot?
Maybe it is soft reboot, and that's what I was saying
Someone
earlier.
Someone said softcore.
Okay, so maybe that's what it is. Now, I'll just start. For some reason, they do 11 of them. I guess 10 just wasn't enough. They had to get that 11th one in there. I'm just going to guess that Lazo has maybe seen this one. I don't know for sure, but just because it stars John Cusack. 2012. It came out in 2009. Remember the scare about the Mayan calendar and that the Mayan calendar ended in 2012? Mm-hmm. And
yeah, they made that movie, right?
That's the movie.
Yeah, well,
that's
2012.
Yeah, 2012. I never saw it.
Never saw it.
Never really had any interest in seeing it, but they've
Wasn't
got it.
Wasn't it like his big comeback movie, too?
I feel like he'd been in a couple of things around that time, but I don't know. And like, when did Hot Tub Time Machine come out? He was doing things here and there. He'd been in that one movie where... It was like the horror movie where everything's actually in the end. Spoiler alert, everything was happening inside someone's head. Remember that? It turned out the big surprise at the end was that it was this insane guy's head. It was institutionalized.
The one that was named after in a hotel room where he was the ghost hunter?
Yeah, that might have been later, 1408 or whatever. But that's right. I don't know the years on those. But 2012.
The Beach Boys movie, too.
2012 came out in 2009. It's got a 39% from the critics on Rotten Tomatoes, 47% from audiences. But Hollywood Reporter likes it well enough to put it in its list of best disaster movies of all time. Number 10 on the list is Daylight, 1996, with Sylvester Stallone. I have seen this movie. I don't remember it that well, but has anyone here seen Daylight with
no.
Sly? They're driving through the a tunnel through the Hudson. I think there's like trucks carrying, I'm pretty sure it's toxic waste. You'd have to look into it, but there's trucks that crash because there were criminals trying to get away or something. The point is the tunnel collapses and people are trapped in the tunnel, and Sylvester Stallone has to help everyone get out of this collapsed tunnel. And there was something that was hurting them in the tunnel. I think it was toxic waste. So one of the trucks,
horrible.
One of the trucks must have been carrying toxic waste. I don't know. But yeah, it was bad. And I mean, they even put in the Hollywood Reporter's thing, hey, you know what? Critics didn't like it, and it's one of Sylvester Stallone's lesser-known films and, you know, poorer-reviewed films. Sylvester Stallone has plenty of films that didn't get great reviews. I love Sylvester Stallone, but there's no shortage of films that didn't get great reviews. So it seems odd that this is in the top 10, but again, maybe there's just not a lot of disaster movies. Number 9 on the list is The Day After Tomorrow. That came out in 2004, Jake Gyllenhaal. I vaguely remember the trailers for this where they're, like, in New York, and suddenly there's tidal waves crashing into things, and I think maybe there was some snow.
What's it
and
called again?
The Day After Tomorrow.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, it's 20 years old now, but that the picture is the picture of the movie poster was that poster of the Statue of Liberty's
right.
arm in the air, and it was all covered in snow.
Yeah.
You remember
yeah,
that?
That's right.
I'm looking at the reviews. It also got bad reviews, but they put it at number 9. Number 8 is The Wave. I don't remember The Wave. I think The Wave was a foreign film. I had to look this up. It was originally called Bulgan. I don't know if it's... I don't know the country of
I haven't
origin,
seen any of these.
But I was hoping that maybe you had seen the John Cusack one just because it was John Cusack, but only one I've seen so far is the Sylvester Stallone one, and I don't remember it very well. The next one I know you saw at least part of. I did not see it, which is bizarre because it has great people in it. It was made by someone who makes movies that I like, but the trailers looked so bad to me, I never even gave it a chance, and that was Don't Look Up. 2021, you know, about the global warming stuff, the Adam McKay movie
that
with
good,
Leonardo
yeah.
DiCaprio, and you thought it looked good?
Yeah, I thought it was huge cast.
I thought it looked
cast
bad for some reason, but I don't know why.
Good. And I like Adam McKay.
I guess maybe I didn't think it looked bad. Maybe I heard that it was bad as soon as people started seeing it. I don't remember, but some people liked it. I mean, it's got a 55% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's got a 78% audience score, so audiences didn't hate it. I was thinking
I've never even heard of it.
Lazo, I thought you watched part of it and said that you turned it off.
That sounds right to me, too.
I thought that you turned it on. You're like, this is so stupid.
DiCaprio's like a climate scientist who's, you know, so nervous and anxious, and he gets to the White House.
There's an asteroid coming for Earth,
yeah.
right? And it's supposed to be the metaphor for global warming.
I thought, wasn't that Don't Look Up?
That's what this is. Don't Look Up. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of it. Maybe I did watch it.
Jennifer Lawrence,
Jonah Hill. Okay, yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay, I never saw it.
Yeah, it was good. I was getting it confused with. Didn't the other movie come out at the same time? It wasn't about a disaster. It was Brad Pitt on a train.
Bullet train. That's recent, though.
Movie
I guess
recent,
this movie was 2021, so it could have been around the same time. So they've got that at number 7. Number 6 is Deep Impact. That was one that crossed my mind earlier when I was trying to think of disaster movies. And I thought,
does this count?
It should count, right? Even though it's never happened before, it doesn't mean it couldn't happen. Well, I mean, it happened to dinosaurs. There were two movies about asteroids hitting Earth that came out basically at the same time. You had Deep Impact. That was the one with Morgan Freeman, where he's president. And the asteroids are coming. I don't even remember what they did to stop the asteroids. Mm. I've seen the movie, but I don't remember it. And then you had Armageddon. And remember, that used to be a thing where studios would put out very similar movies at the same time. Maybe one studio would catch wind that the other one was making a movie, and they'd try and beat them to the punch and get their movie out first. But Deep Impact is number 6. They say Armageddon, the better film, number 5.
Okay.
If I'm being honest, I never saw Armageddon.
That was Ben Affleck?
That's Bruce Willis. Yes, I think Ben Affleck, right? It's Aerosmith. Yeah, Aerosmith. Yeah. I don't want to miss a thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Isn't that the soundtrack?
I don't think I've seen it all, but I know. Yeah.
I don't think I ever saw it.
It's like a fine movie.
I don't think I ever saw it. Now, at least with that one, I know the plot. They're sending these oil rig drillers up to
Bruce
these.
Bruce Willis has to kill himself in order to save the world.
Yeah, they're going to go up there and they're going to nuke these
asteroids. I never saw it, but I just think that's it.
But I don't remember what happened in Deep Impact. Maybe someone on Twitch will know. I can't remember how they were trying to stop the asteroids in Deep Impact. But I know they're both asteroids movies. Okay, number 4 on the list of best disaster movies of all time, according to Hollywood Reporter, is Twisters, which is the new one, 2024. Okay. And that stars the guy that you don't like. Well, I shouldn't say that you don't like. Glenn Powell. Which you saw him in that rom-com, and you were underwhelmed with him. You said you thought he was okay, but now it seems like you saying that just triggered something, because now he seems to be everywhere.
And everything,
He's endorsing all these things. He's in all these big budget
movies.
He just
seems like a B-grade good-looking guy.
He's a good-looking guy.
Like, you're like, hey, I get it. You're a really good-looking guy, but you're not as... Like, I don't know. I'm comparing
him
to people his age in the past, and I'm like, you're a good-looking guy, but you're no Ryan Gosling, you're no Leo, you're no Brad Pitt,
right?
You're no McConaughey. Like, it's just like we have a lack of good-looking guys.
No one
to
is
be
McConaughey.
In movies your age, right?
I actually like him. I liked that Richard Linklater movie that he did quite a bit about the assassin, which I think you would too. The Netflix movie that just came out not that long ago, where he's
the assassin.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed that. I think I like him. Okay. I thought he was a good bad guy in Top Gun. I thought he was actually a pretty good guy in the rom com. I don't know. I haven't seen Twisters yet, but when I saw that he was in it, I was like, good for him.
Okay.
He's good in my mind. He's good looking enough that he deserves it. I'm like, he's. Really,
I mean, he is stunning.
Really good looking guy.
He is aesthetically pleasing.
He deserves to be in movies. So Twisters,
if I'm masturbating, I don't turn it off.
Right.
You know?
Then you're on to something.
Right.
So Twisters, the new one, they've got it 4. They say Twister from 1996, the original, is better at number 3, which doesn't bode well for Twisters, because Twister was a dumb movie. I mean, it was just dumb. I could see if you're a kid and you saw it, I'm sure it was fun when you were a little kid. The special effects at the time were really cool. It looked like they threw a lot of things out of helicopters, and, you know, to make it look like tornadoes were whipping tractors around and stuff. But the movie itself was so dumb. I don't need to rehash what it's about. If you don't remember or you've never seen it, just read a recap of what the movie was about. It's bad. And then the top 2 greatest disaster movies of all time. Any guesses for ones that I haven't mentioned? I didn't mention Volcano, but I didn't see it on the list. That might not be a real movie. I don't know.
The Happening.
Does that count as that could count as a disaster movie, although we don't know exactly what.
It's a disaster.
It's definitely a disaster. The Poseidon Adventure, 1972.
Okay.
Not going back to the Poseidon Adventure. I've never actually seen the Poseidon Adventure, so maybe it is a great one. Doesn't interest me. I have seen number 1, although it's been a while, but the greatest disaster movie of all time, according to them, is The Towering Inferno, 1974.
Yeah, I remember that.
And, I mean, I don't know. I was probably a teenager or something, kind of going through that phase of trying to watch all those old action movies that people love, Steve McQueen and all that stuff, just trying to get through some of those, and I remember watching.
I'm
going to
go with the Happening.
You're going with The Happening as the best disaster movie of all time? Well, the thing I wanted to ask you about this Twisters news is that I saw not only is it doing well in theaters, but a lot of people, it's apparently made this 4DX thing huge. And I think 4DX is like a Regal thing, maybe.
What is 4DX?
Do all theaters have?
They had it at, no, not all of them, but they have it at like.
I mean, do the different companies
Legoland,
have it?
Legoland. If you go watch their movies, they have it. They have it in Disney.
Is that a Regal theater there? Maybe.
What is that like when
the seats move? I mean,
seats move. The air blows. Yeah. It'll spray water on you.
Okay. The whole deal.
That stuff's cool.
It's like being like
not
you said,
like porno like that,
like at an amusement park. Yeah.
Just.
getting wet.
The back of the head.
Yeah. They should. They could incorporate. They will. They will. Undoubtedly, they will. They'll incorporate VR with AI and actual water and all those things. It's coming. But 4DX, I guess, has been around for a little bit. It just hasn't necessarily been huge. But they said ticket sales for Twisters in 4DX has been absolutely huge. I didn't even know if we had
Twisters
a theater here that had
tearing
it.
Tearing up the box office.
If you feel it, chase it!
And many theatergoers are feeling it, posting on social media their experiences watching in a 4DX theater, which brings the movie to life.
Last night we went to watch the movie Twister in 4DX, and it was a wild ride.
The hashtags Twisters and 4DX storming TikTok, showing people in the seats tossed around in sync with what's happening on screen.
Wild. Never experienced anything like it before.
That's going to be boring going to a normal theater after this.
Exactly. We're like, how are we supposed to see another movie without 4DX?
So have you guys done this? Have you sat in
a
4DX?
Yeah, when I was a kid, we went to the Empire State Building. And, like, at the very top, they have this, like, little movie theater. And they show this movie of, like, if you were riding a roller coaster off the Empire
State
Building.
Well, yeah, I've done that stuff.
And it,
I've
like,
done
shakes
those.
Around.
I mean, specifically,
and...
have you done a 4DX movie?
This is
movie.
Where you sit in a chair.
This is a movie theater
and, like,
seat.
If there's, like, a dragon behind you and it's on the movie screen, it's like... Like, it's, this blows in the back of your head.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the,
shoots
seats
water
are
on
shaking
you,
around the one, yeah. like the rides that you're talking yeah. about, which, I've done those things. Like
but this
the,
just
Star
adds,
Wars.
Like, wind and
water and rain and
you,
snow.
It's a movie.
Okay.
It's
like
a theatrical
snowing,
release.
It'll come out of the ceiling. Okay.
It's not just
that's
like
cool.
a ride where they've made this video.
No,
for the,
it's more of a
it's
movie
for theatrical
theater,
releases.
Yeah, that sounds
it's,
cool.
It's in theaters, in some theaters. They said how many, they talked about Regal theaters in the article that I was reading, and they mentioned how many there were across the country. I think they said that they had like 50 of them. I didn't know if there was one here or not. I had no idea that you could go see a movie and incorporate that like amusement
cool.
park ride thing. That's cool. Does AMC have that?
I don't know.
You need to get on that because I feel like it sounds like they're making a bunch of money on this, and I can only imagine how much upcharge there is to go see it in 4DX. I mean, they're sitting in these seats and they're clicking little buttons about whether or not they want to get sprayed with water, and the seats aren't moving just a little bit.
Yeah.
They're moving around a lot. And I was like, well, I want to do this. So will you go see Twisters with me in 4DX if it exists somewhere in this town?
Yes.
Even if it's not at an AMC
yes.
theater. Deal.
The Church of Laszlo.
It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. We're doing the news, gentlemen, and I'm sure you heard by now, overnight, Kamala Harris got all the delegates that she needed. It's over. She's the candidate. Did you not know that? I don't actually know. I don't understand how this works. I mean, I just saw people were upset this morning. They said, this doesn't seem very transparent. How did she get all those delegates in this overnight? You know, is this like one of those old backroom, smoke-filled room deals that we've heard about?
I told Leslie yesterday the head, the committee chair or whatever, is like, we're going to have a very transparent process, and we'll be very open, and you guys will know about it, and...
Oh, Jamie Harrison, the DNC chair?
Yeah,
he's been defending
not
that
Not a chance
stuff.
That it's going to be transparent.
I saw him defending. Actually, I think I have a clip of him defending that. But I think that they're basically saying is, tough cookies, this is how it
Overnight,
works.
Overnight, a major boost for Kamala Harris on her first full day in the race, the vice president securing the support of the more than 1,976 delegates she would need to win the Democratic nomination, according to an NBC News tally. That makes her the party's clear frontrunner ahead of next month's convention in Chicago. On Monday, visiting what's now her campaign headquarters in Delaware, Harris offering a preview of her case against former President Trump.
Donald Trump wants to take our country backward.
Casting herself as a former prosecutor going after her political rival, a convicted criminal.
I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
Okay, oh so look, it looks
I'm
like...
Not,
I thought
for
you sounded great.
I'm not
whoa, whoa,
you.
Whoa, what? I thought yesterday
I
you were on board.
That was a direct attack at me. I'm all of
You're
those
not
things.
Running for president.
Yeah, but she's
you
like,
assault
I know
women.
You, yeah.
She's not saying that she hates people who've broken laws. She's saying that they shouldn't be president. They shouldn't be taking advantage of the American people. She's not accusing you of that.
I thought she killed it.
I thought Laszlo was on board yesterday. Laszlo seemed like you were. I thought we were all in agreement. We love her. We love her.
I don't love her.
I thought that's what we said yesterday.
I never said that.
Oh. We like her a lot.
No, I don't
like her a lot.
I don't at all, but I'll fall in line. I'll vote for her.
That doesn't help. I mean, falling in line and voting does help, but on this program,
going Kennedy.
Try and excite people.
Guys, whatever. I'm going Kennedy. Screw you guys.
It is a good name.
I'm all in. Like, the world needs a Kennedy.
Yeah.
I'm going Kennedy. What's wrong with him?
You know, it's time.
What's wrong with Kennedy?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
You're asking the wrong guy.
What's wrong with Kennedy?
I don't know. I guess...
No, he's an anti-vax guy. Whatever. So what?
Likelihood of winning, I guess, would be the issue that people have with Kennedy, other than the...
He's got the same likelihood of winning as your girl.
What? Now she's
zero.
My girl? Now she's my girl?
Zero.
I thought we were trying to band together here.
I'm going Kennedy. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
You know, she...
Why can't I like him?
You absolutely can like him. She looks like she's...
I've always liked the Kennedy.
But I will say, Andrew Yang, one of the biggest names in the Democratic Party, he's pushing for an open primary. So, you know, it could still happen. When you got a name as big as Andrew Yang saying, we want an open primary...
That's the blue hat guy.
Then maybe you could still have an open primary.
Yeah, you have a blue hat.
The blue hat?
Yes.
Yeah, he's
Oh, the blue hat guy. Yeah. Man, that's right, the blue hat guy. And it was the universal income guy. That was his main thing, right, was universal income. That's kind of what he became known for was, is that what they call it, basic universal income? Sounds
UBI,
good.
UBI, universal basic income.
Universal basic income, there it is. Yeah. I'll take that, sure. Shokong, you were saying something about the DNC chair, Jamie Harrison, talking about how this was going to be open and fair and all that. And I saw he was making the rounds this morning because reporters were grilling him and saying, hey, this doesn't seem very... open and fair. What do you say to that? And he says, I say it was very open and fair.
Ooh, I gotta buy this. What happened last night with the delegates as we sit here this morning? Safe to say that Kamala Harris is your party's nominee for president?
Well, you know, the vice president definitely has tremendous momentum. She's been working the phones, doing all that's necessary in order to secure this nomination. Now, we officially launch this process tomorrow when our rules committee will meet to enact the rules of the convention and the rules of the nomination process. It's three steps. Rules committee meets. We will then open up for the official signatures from the delegates. Yeah. And then you got a few days to get those signatures, and then we will start the official voting for our nominee, likely by August 1st.
To be clear, this all happened very quickly, Mr. Chairman. I mean, the delegates... essentially overnight, this happened. To those who would claim that so far the process has not been open and transparent, what would you say?
Well, the process has been fair. It's been open. It's been transparent.
Oh, okay.
But if anybody's thinking about running, you're running against a sitting vice president who, along with Joe Biden, who's worked really hard going across this country, building relationships, and probably the most qualified person to be on this ballot. She has the experience. And so that's a tough road to hoe if that's not where, if you don't have that gravitas, and she has it.
Well, there you go. You heard it from him. It has been open. It has been fair. It has been transparent.
Yeah, totally.
You just weren't paying attention because you were asleep. That's not his fault. You know, she's got tremendous momentum, and that is some momentum. I mean, we went from saying, like, so is she going to be the candidate to, boom, yeah, she's the candidate. With momentum like that, nobody can stop her. If you're thinking about running against her, you might want to think twice. And that's coming from the DNC chair. So it looks like she's going to be the candidate.
I just bought a T-shirt, Surfers for Kennedy.
There you go. I can't wait to see you wearing it. I think it'll look good on you. Surfer, why surfers for Kennedy?
Which is one of the choices. I used to surf. I was like, yeah, the guy's all about the oceans and making things green.
Yeah.
One of his hats says, make the earth great again.
Okay.
I'm all about it.
Didn't want the hat.
I like the ocean. I thought the shirt was cooler.
Okay.
Oh, let me get the hat, too. I mean,
no, I'll go look at the stuff.
I don't like any of the
second.
Plays on Donald Trump's
right,
thing.
Right. Because then it seems like you're...
quasi. I'm not exactly sure what people think. Like, they're like, oh, does that mean...
That
he'll make the earth
is great he saying
again?
That now? Yeah. That's
I'm a Kennedy 24 guy, so
it also just feels like come up with your own thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that Trump's thing was Reagan's thing, but still, Reagan wasn't using it anymore. So come up with your own thing.
Surfers for Kennedy.
There you go, Surfers for Kennedy. I like it. Do they have any burnouts for Kennedy or anything that would
excite you?
Appeal to me? Yeah.
Well, you're not a Kennedy guy.
Well, I could be a Kennedy guy. I mean, I don't know why
they
we're
have
all
the. Are you Irish? A lot of Irish stuff here.
I could be Irish.
I mean, if you are RFK Jr., Kennedy 24.
Probably am. I mean, a lot of white Americans are Irish, at least a little
they
bit.
They got
right?
one of like a long sleeve shirt that says Kennedy. It's cool. It's green and it looks like they've done the name Kennedy like an Irish whiskey.
Not bad.
It looks pretty cool.
Not bad.
I will say.
I'll wear that. I could wear that. No one knows I'm not Irish because I don't know that I'm not Irish.
Well, it just
I
looks like,
Irish.
You know, the guy's wearing the different whiskey shirts. Yeah. This one just says Kennedy on it.
How much?
Long sleeve, $40.
$40, not bad.
That's not bad. And, not you know, bad. You got to put in days. Your name, though, because it's a donation. You know
sure,
what I mean?
Sure. But, I mean, the reason I'd be buying the shirt is because I want to support him anyway.
Right. The remedy is Kennedy.
The remedy is Kennedy. Hmm.
Get Bobby on the ballot.
Is he going to be on the ballot?
Doesn't matter. I know how to spell Kennedy.
Yeah, we can write him in. That's true. I don't know.
Farmers for Kennedy? Are you a farmer?
I don't think so.
Oh, veterans for Kennedy.
You could get that. You
Boom.
Shouldn't have bought the surfer one.
Well, I'll get this one, too. I've got plenty more. Veterans for Kennedy.
Surfing veterans for Kennedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
American. What color do I want?
I thought you already voted anyway.
I'm going to go with Army.
Leslie usually votes early and often. And, you know, we do this whole charade to say, like, oh, we're undecided, or, oh, we don't know what we think of these different candidates when we know.
We all know. All right, so I got veterans for Kennedy and surfers for Kennedy.
Cool. I like it. Yeah. Totally jealous. And now I'm going to have to go to his website and look for something.
I confirm. I have to say what my God damn it.
Oh, I thought he was saying that there was a shirt that says, I confirm. Snowcone, are you saying that we have to take a break?
No.
Has it been 10 minutes already? Oh, okay.
No, we're good.
Okay. The Kelce brothers have a cereal. I'm sure you guys may have seen this by now. The Kelce brothers, Carson Daly says they're printing money. These guys are printing money.
Didn't he already have a cereal?
Well,
Kelce Crunch, whatever?
Yeah, is this locally. A new one? I think that might
that
have been a local.
Like
I think
V
so. I think
something.
It was like a Hy-Vee thing.
Okay, got it.
I thought the same thing at first, and I was like, yeah, that was probably like the Mahomes thing, some sort of local Hy-Vee deal.
These guys are getting their bags.
But now they've taken the real big brand name cereal, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, their favorite cereals, and they've combined them. It's like a you know, like a suicide at the soda fountain.
Really?
And they're mixing them all together, and it's official Kelce Brothers. And there's going to be like a collectible box, and then the regular box, and I think it's available like very soon. Maybe
next up, Kelce
weeks.
Brothers. Where are the they're everywhere. The football family now tackling a new position off the field. Cereal co-creators Jason and Travis teaming up with General Mills to combine their three favorite breakfast cereals all in one bowl.
Oh,
salad mix, the Kelce mix, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, and Reese's Puffs.
Wow.
Plus, fans can pick up limited edition boxes of each of those cereals individually.
Okay, Twitch, I can say suicide. First of all, I didn't say commit
it's
suicide.
Unalive.
But I was talking about a soda fountain, and I didn't say commit suicide. And, yeah, you're allowed to say that.
Of course you can say it. It's stupid. Yeah. I hate when they say unalive.
Well, that's just so that it
dumb.
Doesn't trigger the
I know, the algorithm.
AI.
I
so
know,
that
but
it
just
sees
dumb
it.
Anyways.
But Lazo said what we're supposed to say is, oh, damn, I forgot. He just told us last week. Took their own life? Is that it? No, that doesn't sound right either. God damn it. We just went through this. It's not that you can say committed suicide, you can't say, but it's not just suicide. It's lost your life to suicide? Lost your life? I don't remember.
I looked it up. I tried.
Yeah, we tried. Well, someone will text us. All right, now we really do have to take a break.
The Church of Laszlo. It's time to doom scroll with Slim Fast.
What you don't know could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
This is Headlines on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
Doom scroll.
We're finishing the news.
I'm not listening anymore.
Well, that's okay. We'll get through it. Karen Reed, you remember her? She was the woman who, with the leaky balloon knot.
Yeah, I remember.
According to a text exchange with the police officer or a state trooper or whatever he was. I didn't say that. I shouldn't be saying that about
she
someone.
Does have a leaky balloon
knot. That's what the guy had been texting a friend. I don't know that she ever took the stand and said, I do have a leaky balloon knot or I'm just saying.
She had IBS.
It was a text exchange. I think she had some surgeries, too. It might have been more than just that.
But 99 balloon knots.
She's the leaky balloon knot. That's where that story originated. She was accused of killing her boyfriend a couple years ago
because
by
she
running
had a
over
leaky
with the car.
Balloon knot.
Man,
made her angry.
Maybe. By running him over with the car, then driving off, you know, leaving the scene, that whole thing. It was a night out drinking with friends. He was a cop. They had some other police officer friends that they were with off duty, and went back to cop's houses. I know we're getting so close. We're almost there. But there was a hung jury, and so the judge a few weeks ago finally had to say, all right, the jurors can't come to a decision, so there's a hung jury. So they have to, of course, set a new trial date because they're going to try her again. And I know that makes Lasso unhappy.
I don't love it.
But I will say, in this instance, maybe this happens a lot, but the defense is saying, look, you need to drop some of these charges for the next go-around. Because we have now talked to the jurors, and they have said that while they couldn't come to a decision overall, they did come to a unanimous decision about two of the different charges. So we think that since they came to a unanimous decision about those two charges, you should drop them.
Surrounded by a crowd in support of and against her, returning to a Massachusetts court to face a judge once again. It's been 3 weeks since a jury deadlocked. Reed's defense attorney is now pushing to throw out two of the three charges against her, saying they were contacted by several jurors and intermediaries who alleged the jury unanimously agreed that Reed was not guilty of second-degree murder or leaving the scene of an accident with injury or death, but were deadlocked on the charge of manslaughter while operating a motor vehicle under the influence.
Okay. I mean, and again, maybe that happens when they have to do retrials where they do say, yeah, we talked to the jurors, and they said that they weren't arguing about these things, so we will drop those. I don't know if that's happened before or not, but it makes sense to me. If they said, look, no, she's not guilty of leaving the scene, she's not guilty of this, this was the thing we couldn't decide, well, then just charge her with that, and that's that. But knowing how prosecutions work, and I just assume that they're like, no, we're gonna do it all again. And it's in January, so
will this they is taking have to up years of her life. About her leaky balloon not again?
I don't know. I'm guessing, yeah, those text messages will probably have to be read again with that cop talking about a leaky balloon knot.
Thing just to be known for.
I know. And I mean, she's already had enough of the limelight, if you will. And she doesn't need that kind of attention. And it's bad enough that you've been charged with killing your boyfriend if you didn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you did, it's still bad. Yeah, but especially if you didn't do it. But then on top of that, you got to sit there and listen to what these guys are saying.
Hoping that you wouldn't get charged.
And now, you know, look, yeah, okay, my defense team found these text messages because they had to get, you know, discovery, and they had to get all the text messages that these police were sending on their government-issued phones. But now I know how probably all my friends and coworkers talk about me behind my back all the time. They're probably calling me leaky balloon knot behind my back. I mean, I worried about
this. Is that punishment enough?
I think it is punishment enough.
Even if she killed him?
Yeah, because no one thinks that it was like premeditated murder, I don't think. I haven't followed the case as closely as some of our Twitch chatters here. But I think no one is accusing her of premeditated murder. If anything, it's that she got angry and she backed the car over him and then left. So, yeah, I think that being, you know, as a woman especially, there is a double standard there. Not that anyone wants to be known for problems with their butthole. But for a woman, she's a pretty woman. She's, you know, I think she's in her 40s. And to just sit there on national TV and have them talk about your butthole in such a bad way. You know, there's ways it can be talked about.
It's not a bad way.
It's a bad way.
Well, I mean, it's not optimal.
It's bad. Sure. Right. It's not a good way. It's not like, and then is it true that you texted the other officer and said, you bet she has a beautiful butthole and that you'd like to, you know, give her the old snow cone? That's embarrassing or whatever, but it's also a little bit flattering. They must think I'm hot. But when he's sitting there saying, yeah, no, she's not hot because she's got a leaky balloon knot. Like, yeah, she's hot, sort of, but she's got that leaky balloon knot.
I think that sucks. Snow cone, if I were doing what he's doing right now,
yeah,
you'd be like, oh. You're going over the top one time with the balloon knot.
You're right.
I didn't.
You're right.
But you just, when he starts doing it,
you're right.
I'm not getting too descriptive. That's what was in the text exchange.
Right? I just associate hearing your voice like, okay, something bad's about to happen. Not so much with him, but you are right.
Right.
You are right.
I said with the. I'm judged in a different standard.
Yeah,
but I kept saying it over and over.
Right. Like, you kept saying it once. We got it. We understand.
You're saying you kept saying it over and over. That day, you did. It was like a 25 minute break.
But now you're doing it.
It was like 25 minutes that day.
But now you're doing it.
It was people enjoyed it.
Right.
We got a lot of response.
But now you're doing it.
To that segment.
There's been no repercussions.
Leave them wanting more, Slim. Leave them wanting more.
Well, you know what? There was more. Because it's in the news. That's all. So just in case you needed a little spark to your memory there, that's who we're talking about.
Yeah, Reed Phillips on Twitch says, so it's okay for a guy. Yeah, it's not so bad if they say, hey, a guy's got
it. It's not great, but it's not so bad.
Right.
It's not as bad as a woman. I mean, no. It's just not. And that's not fair. I get it. You know, society isn't fair.
About it?
Just that there's different standards for men and women.
Yeah, of course.
There should be.
Women are supposed to be sexy.
That some people would say is unfair.
And
not everybody would say that was unfair. Not even all women would say that's unfair. But some people would say that that's unfair. I hear a lot of people
guys
talking.
Guys are just known to be kind of gross.
I hear people saying that it's unfair. I hear a lot
guys
of people.
Guys are just kind of known to be gross.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
women, you're like, hey, guys, you're a woman.
Guys fart. They light their
fix
farts
your
on
balloon
fire.
Knot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go on to the next thing.
See? I said it
no,
once.
No, no, not you.
Literally
that's true.
Once.
No, that's true.
Literally
I said
once.
Fart.
Yeah,
and
he
you're
said
like,
fart.
Okay.
Like, I'm just like, come on, let's go. Was not you. That was him.
Yeah, okay. Right.
I said it once.
Weird timing because it was as soon as Laszlo said it.
No, because he said fart. I'm like, we're getting into farts and pooping.
No, I'm
like,
with you. I don't
on.
Like that.
I just
I
said
like
that guys are gross.
Yeah, we don't like it. Some festival loves it.
Right.
So let's go on.
I'm just saying guys are gross. I was agreeing with you. That Wall Street Journal reporter, obviously that American spy who pretended to be a Wall Street Journal reporter, who was on trial in Russia, he got sentenced 16 years
in a Russian prison.
Eh,
not that bad. I do that stand on my head.
Bad, right? 16 years? No biggie. The Wall Street Journal says, hey, that's not good. Set him free. And the United States has said, hey, this trial's a sham. He wasn't spying. But, you know, I live in America. I'm getting this news from American sources,
sure.
including the Wall Street Journal. I mean, was the guy a spy?
Could have been.
You're telling me we don't have spies over there? You're telling me you don't have people committing espionage over there?
Of course. That's part of the risk you take when you become a spy.
Right.
You have to say, I'm not a spy.
That's just it.
And then they're like, and we'll say you're not a spy.
Yep. We're never going to admit it. We're never going to admit to knowing that you're a spy, having hired you. And the Wall Street Journal?
Codename Leaky Balloon.
maybe the Wall Street Journal believes.
Okay, come on.
See?
Just kidding.
Evan, what's his name? Gershevich? I've heard his name a million times. Anyways, 16 years in prison.
The Russian court has convicted Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich on espionage charges. He was sentenced to 16 years in prison. Authorities claimed without offering any evidence that he was gathering secret information for the U.S. Charges that Gershkovich and the Journal have denied. Mm. The U.S. government denounced the trial as a sham and called for his immediate release.
Okay, have you guys watched the body cam footage, the latest body cam footage of the police-involved shooting that's really making the rounds with, you know, that lawyer that appears in a lot of these high-profile cases, Crump, the George Floyd lawyer? We've talked about him in the past. He's kind of been everywhere the last few years. This is one of his cases, so that should give you some idea. This is getting a lot of press, and there's a chance that you guys may have even seen the video on Reddit or something within the last day or so. And not known. But this is the woman who called 911 for help. And the police show up. She thought that there was an intruder in her house. Her name was Sonia Massey. Have you guys heard of this? She's a black woman. She calls the police for help. And she says that she thinks there's an intruder. We know now that she's had a history of mental health issues. They don't specify what, but she had some issues. And you're at least led to believe that that may be played into why she thought that there could be someone in her house. The cops get there. They search the place. The body cam footage has now been released, and you can watch all of this. I mean, they blur some of it, but you can watch all of it. The cops have her sitting down. She's sitting in her living room, and they're talking to her and basically saying, hey, you know, we've searched the house. We don't see anybody here. And then they say something to her about, hey, you know, there's a boiling pot of water on the stove. You know, you want to do something about that. She stands up and walks over to the kitchen to address this pot of boiling water that was left on the stove. Mm-hmm. While she's standing there, apparently she starts to get confused about who the police officers are, why they're there. I don't know. Again, they said she's got a history of mental health issues. But one of the officers, at least one of the officers, thought that she was going to try and throw this hot water at him. Now, if you watch the video, he's standing back. You know, I don't know how many feet, but he's not like super close to her, and she's not, you know, she doesn't look all that athletic. I don't know. I mean, could she have reached him with the boiling water? I guess so, sure. But
he's going to move back a little bit.
Yeah, and instead what he does is he pulls his gun out.
And says, step away from the boiling water?
Basically, from what I can tell, that's what it sounds like. And then not only that, but he steps closer to her, which I heard her lawyer bring up this very point. Like, hey, the officer got closer to her. If he was really worried about her throwing water on him or whatever, then why did he get closer to her? He would have backed away. Instead, he gets closer, and he shoots her in the head and kills her.
Okay, that seems aggressive.
It does. And then afterwards, you hear the cops, and like, one of them's going, oh, F, right? And then the guy who shot is like, I wasn't going to let her throw hot water on me. Like, it's like, It's surreal. It doesn't seem like a real thing. Unfortunately, it is, and people want this guy charged with
murder. Yes, of
course.
I heard somebody outside.
Yeah, we checked your house. We checked your backyard. I walked all the way through all these backyards.
An Illinois woman's last moments seen in chilling detail on newly released body camera video. Prosecutors say on the morning of July 6th, 36-year-old Sonia Massey called 911 about a possible intruder. When two deputies arrived at her Springfield home, she at times appeared confused.
I'm trying to get help, y'all, but
what do you need help with?
Nothing. I just, please God.
Minutes later, Massey picks up what appears to be a pot of boiling water from her stove. The deputy on screen identified by prosecutors as Sean Grayson.
Drop the pot.
Jesus.
Shots fired. I'm not taking hot boiling water to face.
He walked around the counter to get a better shot. If you're in fear for your life, you don't walk towards the person.
Well, grand jury saw this. They've indicted. It's first-degree murder charges. If convicted, he would face, I think they said, up to 45 years in prison.
Yeah, good.
I mean, you'd have to show me that. I don't know what you could possibly tell me was going on in that room, but you're not even trying to. You know, a lot of times they'll say, well, they thought they saw this or the. I have seen nothing where they've said the officer thought.
I'm not going to let her hit me with hot water.
You hear him say it. I'm not going to let her throw hot water on me.
Other situation where that would be okay. Like, literally, like, so a lot of these things I try to put in, like, some sort of context, right? So let's take the cop out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just a guy.
Yep.
Or a girl. And someone's boiling water and you're having a disagreement with them. And they go towards the pot of water and you're like, step away from the pot of water. And they're like, no. And you shoot them in the head.
Yeah.
I don't think they're like, yeah, he was afraid.
No, I think that's murder. And right. I think you get charged with it.
Right.
I mean,
if Snow Cone came in here with hot water, and I was like, yo, are you going to throw that hot water at me? And then he didn't say anything. I was like, hey, put the hot water down. And he didn't. And then I shot him in the head.
Yeah.
I think I would be in trouble.
I think that's it. I think it's a pretty open and shut case. I could be wrong, but it doesn't matter. It shouldn't even be mentioning it because this is such a serious story. But it's him saying that at the end. I wasn't going to let her throw hot water at me on me. It sounds almost. It would be comical if it wasn't real life.
It would be comical if it was a buddy cop movie.
Well, so in American Pie
and Kevin Hart shot her in the foot.
Right.
It would be comical at that point.
Like, she was going to throw hot water at me.
Right.
They're in American Pie Reunion, I'm sure we all know it by heart.
Of course.
Stifler grabs her waiver and destroys all their property. Does all stuff. He hooks it up to his truck, drags all their property down the street, destroys it. I'm like, God, man, you know, why'd you do that? And he's like, they splashed me. You know, I mean, that's kind of what it feels like. It was supposed to be comical because he's like, hey, you overreacted there a bit. Yeah, you overreacted here a bit. I mean, I get it. I don't want to get hit with hot water either, but I'm also not. I'm missing something here about why he thought that she was going to throw the hot water at him. I can't hear exactly what she's saying. And I know they say that she wasn't.
And before he did, he said, I'll shoot you in the effing face.
I'll shoot you in the effing face. He's saying that. So, in the video, if you watch the whole thing, she's sitting there on the couch. She's like, hey, you got that pot of boiling water, you know, that you need to go deal with. There's water. Because I'm guessing that she had put the pot of boiling water on the stove and then heard the noises. She thought there was an intruder or whatever, and called the cops.
He's been in 6 different agencies in 4 years?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, 6 agencies in 4 years.
He's been moved around. I didn't see that it was 6, but I did see that he'd been moved around for previous complaints.
6 agencies in 4 years. That's, oof.
Yeah. I mean, and I wonder how hard they fought to, you know, not get this body cam footage out, or how hard. When the police don't want body cam footage out there and they're taking their time to try and figure out, like, okay, what can we do? You just think about footage like this. What can they do to it?
Nothing.
There's really nothing to do to it.
The prosecutor doesn't want it out.
Right. I mean,
you're talking about now a prosecutor prosecuting a cop, which a prosecutor is a cop.
Yep.
So they don't want it out, but they're like, we have to.
Yeah. There's just no way around it. I'm sorry, guys.
Because it makes a job harder for a prosecutor. Not that he or she as a prosecutor doesn't want this person to go to jail. I'm not saying that, but it makes their job harder the next time.
Yes.
Well, they don't want this stuff to happen.
Right. I mean, they could have worked with that cop in the past many times. Who knows? But there's nothing. I mean, in this video, all you see is someone get murdered. That's it. And so you have to do something. And I think, especially in the post-George Floyd world we live in, if there had not been body cam footage of this and it happened in 2009,
of course.
Who knows what would have happened? We wouldn't have heard about it. We wouldn't have heard about it. The family would have called a press conference. They would have tried.
Yeah.
Maybe one person would have shown up. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe not. You know, it just would have been another black family saying, hey, our loved one was murdered, and we know that there's no way she did what they're saying she did, because who knows what the police would have said.
She
had a bazooka, and like, there's no way she had a bazooka. And then, now you got the body cam footage. Body cam footage is good for everyone. Right. I mean, it just is. It's good the police have it. I think it's good for cops. I think for most cops, not for cops like this. And it's good for the public. I don't see how anyone at this point can be against body cams.
No.
Whatever they cost, pay for them. And there should be a job.
The
footage needs to be available.
There should be a job. Like, the job should be, like, literally, you turn in your body cam at the end of your shift. And there should be people who work there who are like, okay, we're going to review the body cam footage every day.
Yeah. Like,
and if that thing turned off.
Like internal affairs.
For no reason.
Stuff. Yeah.
You're fired.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, boom. I want it on. Now, if it turned off and they're like, there's a malfunction or something.
And we can see that.
Then we can figure it out. But. This is it. You pulled over six people today. I want to see the body cam footage for all six of those people. And if any, that's it.
Yep.
And you turn it in and we look at it. I don't see why we don't do that.
I think there are some organizations that actually
do that, but not all of it. Breaks in that scenario?
I don't think you have to have your body cam footage on when you're not engaging with the suspect.
I'm not saying, you only have to turn, your body cam footage is fine. Mm-hmm. I don't have to see what you're doing in the car all the time.
Yeah.
You could be talking to your girlfriend or whatever. I don't care. Every time
you
engage, but every time you engage with someone in the public, I need to see it.
Yeah.
Period. And if the camera ever goes off without anything, you're done.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it's always on, what about when they take bathroom breaks?
Like, for what? To take a poop?
Or to pee, whatever.
You're just saying they're going to watch this?
Yeah, like, you don't have to look down at your wiener or anything, but I want the camera on.
I think a lot of them do actually not turn it. They turn the body cam footage on or off. They turn it on as soon as they're going on a call. Like, as soon as they get a call, they turn their body cams on. I think I'm okay with that as long as, of course, they're not actually going on calls and saying I wasn't on one. But there should be a way to know if an officer was on their way
anytime
somewhere.
Anytime they engage with the public. And if there's a time where they're like, hey, I engaged with... Or I know you wrote a ticket or you did something.
Or we saw you on someone else's
camera. And the camera wasn't on.
Yeah.
You're fired. Period.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm good with that.
It's the Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. You know, Laszlo, you've always said that the people who cheer on rich guys and gals, the politicians who seem to be for the rich, or they say we support the, you know, tax cuts for the rich and all those things, and you go, but that's bad for you because you're not rich. But it's because they feel like
they're gonna get rich.
They feel like they're close.
They are,
and they want to get prepared.
Temporarily embarrassed millionaires.
That's right. That's right. Well, we have some data now that shows a percentage of the Americans who feel just that way. Like, I don't know if this means that they think they're going to necessarily, but they think they could. So I guess I'll ask you first, though. Do you think you have a way, an idea? It could be a business plan. It could be a movie script. It could be a hot stock tip. It could be any of those things. Do you think that you have a way to strike it rich that you have thought of that you think, you know what, if I just followed through.
Not rich.
I could strike it rich. No? Just better?
Yeah, better. I have a couple ideas that could give me extra income.
Okay.
But I don't think I have an Amazon idea.
Don't think you have a way to strike it rich.
I know some people think, I got an Amazon idea. If I did this, I could be as big. I don't have that.
And I assume that's what they, well, you know, when they say strike it rich, when they ask these people, do you think you have a plan
they're not talking about a $2,000 a month. That's what I have.
They're not talking about, I could almost double my income. They're talking about being rich people. Well, 33% of Americans say that they do have an idea that could or will one day
make
them wealthy.
Nerdlin brought it up. Peanut butter with two lids, man. A lid on the top, a lid on the bottom. It is such a good idea. I don't know why people...
You just need to patent it and then sell it to Skippy or Jif or Peter Pan. All you got to do is go to the patent office. Oh, well, I'm sure they have a website by now. and just draw up some sort of schematic. I've seen what those patents look like before.
Sure.
And just show. I mean, someone on Twitch is probably good enough artist that they can draw a picture, lid on the bottom, lid on the top. You just have, you know, label A, top lid B, also top lid, right. One's flipped over. And that's it. There's your patent. Apply for it. And then once you have the patent, then you call the big peanut butter.
Well, I need you to get companies. It done. Just my idea, I'll split it with you 50-50.
Okay, so someone on Twitch who knows how to draw, that's the first thing I think we need. I don't know exactly how this works, but we need you to draw us pictures because I think we need that for the patent request. And then I'll submit it to see if we can get it patented. Because I can't think of anyone. There's no other jar that works that way, right?
No.
No other, not just peanut butter, but no other cosmetics or anything where they're like, we've got a top jar. Because it could be used for a lot of different things besides just peanut butter. I mean,
yeah, the double lid jar.
Yeah, I mean, like cosmetics and stuff, anything. There was that woman on Shark Tank who they bought her thing because she made spatulas that were small enough to reach into her little cosmetic jars. Well, if she'd had a lid on the other side, she wouldn't have needed that spatula. So, and, you know, that's the other thing, too. Like, maybe these people have ideas specifically that they want to take on Shark Tank, but they don't specify. They just say 32% say they have an idea that could or will one day make them wealthy.
I don't know how to use ChatGPT, Coronado Crackman, but he said tell ChatGPT to draw it.
That's okay. You know what? I could do that. Well, sometimes they say I can't create an image from scratch, but I'll go back and mess with it. Jim and I was letting me create some images last time I used it. I'll try both of them, see if I can figure it out. So 33%, one in three Americans think that they have a plan that could make them rich. You know, it's just one of those, if only I get off my ass and do it,
yeah,
I'd be rich, which is so American. I don't know. Maybe other countries would come up with similar numbers, but I don't think so. I think that's got to be a uniquely American thing that so many people think, it's just lack of follow through is the only reason I'm not rich, because I've got the idea, baby, and no one else has had this idea.
Sure.
And if I just follow through, I'd be rich. But if it doesn't pan out, 19% of people have a feeling in their bones that they will one day win big in the lottery.
Oh, yeah.
19%. 19%.
Well, you got to have hope.
19% of people feel in their bones that one day they're going to win big in the lottery.
If you don't have hope, what do you got?
Well, you could have some hope, but you feel it in your bones that you're going to win big one day? Like, no, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen. I guess that's, you're
that's
right.
That's what keeps you going.
It's maybe that's a good
when you put that dollar in the slot machine, your feeling is it's going to happen.
Yeah, and if you're not gambling it all away, if you're just buying a lottery ticket every week or whatever
it's
gonna
it is, happen.
Then maybe it's good for
and
you.
And I think the more you gamble, the more you feel like, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to hit.
Well,
I know it.
Yeah, and you get that little reward, and you're like, oh, now I just need a slightly bigger one. You get a couple there, you're like, that was pretty good. At one point, you would have said, I'll walk away if I won that much. But then you get to a point where you're like, no, I need to win a little more.
Enough.
And next thing you know, you're like, I'm going to win the whole Powerball. And if I have to split it with anyone, I'm
going
to spend all of my winnings buying more Powerballs until I get the whole thing to myself. Yeah, 19% of people. Men are more likely than women to feel confident that they'll strike it rich one day. I guess that's not surprising either. 39% of men think they're going to strike it rich one day. 26% of women. So that 33% is an average of the two. It's actually almost 40% of men that say, yeah, I've got an idea that's going to help me strike it rich one day. And 26% of those who have a big plan think they've come up with a game-changing idea or product that's never been done before. So over a quarter of those people are like, I've got something that's never been done before. We're not talking about a movie script now. We're talking about, I've got this thing, this idea, this invention.
Double-sided peanut butter jar.
Double-sided peanut butter jar, and it's never been done before, and it's going to be a game changer, and it could make me rich. If you really thought that, I would think there'd be some sort of attempt.
I was scraping into the bottom of a peanut butter jar the other day, and I thought
me
to myself,
too.
It's
me
not
too.
A
I had to get a longer knife.
Me too, and I had a little bit of peanut butter on my finger. I'm like, God damn it.
Yep.
If this thing just had an upside down.
And I get the family size jar. So by the time I got to get down there now, I got to reach even further into the jar. I've thought it many times, like, man, I wish this had the double-sided lid like Laszlo's talked about. I think it could work. Snowcone? Oh, he left. I feel like he said that he had an idea. I can't remember what it was. I, in the past, have thought, man, I guess instead of thinking, I've got this idea that could make me rich, I've had things like you've said where it's like, it could make me a little extra money, maybe.
My t-shirt company, if I could get Prairie Sailor to help me out, that's what I need.
Yeah, there's your little
bit. I feel like
of
I could get
extra income.
It is.
And then my old thing, I'm more the type who
How
says,
about mitra-9.com? That'd be a little extra income for
there
us.
There you go. Use the
if
promo
you go
code.
To mitra-9.com. Mitra...
-9.com.
There you go.
Use the promo code PROBLEMATIC. Get yourself a discount. Help
that
us
helps
out.
Us make yeah. a little bit more money.
And I saw someone on Twitch said...
And you
said,
feel better for it.
Someone on Twitch said earlier that they just ordered their first like 5-pack nice. Or 10-pack, and they said, we'll see what we think. I already know what you're going to think.
You're okay. going to love it.
All I got to get you to do is try it, because once you try it, that's it. I know.
It basically sells itself.
It basically sells itself.
Mitra-9.com.
So that's our plan there. That's
right, for you to go buy that.
It's for you to go buy that, and then for someone else who's already started a company.
We're pretty close to having a booze on the shelf.
Right, right. That could be big. And then if we could just get someone else who's already started a business to help Lazo with his business.
With my T-shirt thing, idea.
Then
Prairie Sailor, who sells. I will tell you that I put that outfit on. I call it an outfit
mm-hmm.
because he gave me shorts and a T-shirt that matched.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother stopped me and said, that's the nicest you've looked since you've been here.
Wow.
Yeah, like she noticed like it. Real, like these are very nice clothes.
They're real outfits, though. Yeah, that's the thing. Like he has like a line.
Yeah,
you know?
It looks
it's like
good.
A designer that puts out a line yeah. of clothes. Not just
and I know my mother wouldn't lie to me about how good I look.
No, your mother would never say you're handsome if you're
no.
not, that you look good if you don't. Mm. They don't. They're quick to criticize when you don't sure. look good. They'll tell you, why are you wearing that shirt?
Yep.
Oh, why would you? You could look so much more handsome.
She kept saying, those are really nice clothes.
Yeah. They are nice.
He just gave them to you?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. It's the second time he's done it,
pretty
too.
Pretty big deal.
Pretty big deal, Mom. Don't know if you know this. Wait till we
go
out.
Go to mitra-9.com, Mom.
Buy something. Are we done now? Are we on vacation?
Is that it? Are we really?
Well, I thought
we don't come back for a while.
We don't come back for a while, my man.
Are you going to miss me?
I will miss you. I'm sure that we'll correspond, though, via text. It's the beauty of cell phones. You were supposed to watch something tonight. What were you going to watch? And I was going to...
Presumed Innocent.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we'll text about stuff that we're watching. You'll tell me what you think of that show, because I was going to try and finish that tonight. I'm sure we'll be in touch. Are you going anywhere?
I'd like to. My mom's got to get out of here. Not that it's a bad thing, but, you know, she flies out, like, I think Friday. And then after that, then I think maybe I'll try to take the boys to, you know, a game in Minneapolis or Colorado or something, but I haven't planned
a couple rough ideas, but nothing set in stone.
You're going to Vegas.
Vegas, yeah.
When do you leave for Vegas?
You know, I'm a big John Mayer fan. Next week. And the truth is, I didn't know that John Mayer was doing it until you guys told me. And I've been so excited ever since then. And Brooke was like, why? I say, why didn't you tell me that he was playing? She goes, I guess I thought you knew. Also, why would I think that you'd care?
John Mayer's
I'm
awesome.
Like, because it's John Mayer. And she's like, I've never heard you listen to John Mayer. I was like, it doesn't matter. He's a legend. She's like, well, the guys from Grateful Dead are legends, right? I was like, yeah, but John Mayer's a legend.
Is,
like a legend.
Like Napalm Sex, right? Isn't that what you said about Jessica Simpson?
Yeah. He's a legend, and mm-hmm. I've never seen him, so that's like a big deal. And she's like, okay, well, I'll tell my dad you're excited. So then he sent me a picture, because he's already seen this show once. He sent me a picture. He's like, that's John Mayer. Have you ever heard of him? I was like, yeah, I've heard of him. And I've been informed now that I'm going to be seeing him.
Right,
so
you're pretty excited?
So that's my vacation. Yeah,
what about you, Snowcone? Are you going to do anything?
No real plans.
Okay. Well, here we are. Well, good show, John Mayer. I'm glad you get to see him.
Thanks.
You should whisper over to your fiance's ear during that show and be like, your sexual napalm.
See if it works.
Your body's a wonderland.
No, remember you said that about
Jessica napalm about Jessica Simpson.
Sexual napalm. She got real mad about it.
Yeah.
You should just be like, touch her leg and be like, you are sexual napalm.
She'd like it.
I know she would. I did it to her last week.
Okay.
Anyway, stay positive, kids. It's the Church of Laszlo.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No matter why your clients give, a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360 makes charitable giving simple and efficient. They can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and their assets can potentially grow tax-free as they recommend when and where to give. DAF Giving 360 has over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.